Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host here for the next 60 minutes as we bring you some non-polarizing conversation, exclusive interviews with experts in the industry, plus non-political talk, just conversations and facts about the energy industry. Thank you folks for joining us here on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted brand in the Bakken today. We talk with CEOs, policymakers, roughnecks, cafe owners, landmen, and pretty much anybody else involved with that energy economy in order to make it all work. Building the Bakken Radio is about the community and the people living and working in the oil and gas industry every single day. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum about wireless energy and innovation at the well. Also, Trent Lashaw, owner and president of Lashaw Drilling, talks about a North Dakota rig that walked a couple miles out in the field. You're not going to want to miss that interview. Plus, our weekly look at the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota. We hear from engineer Dan Hetherington about how they're ensuring that there'll be no visual impacts when it comes to Theodore Roosevelt National Park. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard right here on the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. Well, the circuit holds the power of the hour, and the light switch turns your tongue sour. There's no way to explain how this got that way. It's the same reason the sky. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Dan Hetherington from SEH. Yeah, next go on. I think one of my favorite things about this whole deal is, well, first of all, you find out exactly how much goes into permitting and goes into site and everything that goes with just building. I mean, everything that goes into it before you even dig with a shovel is unbelievable. And to me, one of the more amazing ones was I was talking with the CEO, William Prentice, I think it was right around Christmas time, and he mentioned to me about flying a kite so that people from the park couldn't see it, or there was a certain amount of distance so that nobody could see it. You said yes, so you're familiar with this. Describe this kite thing that had to happen. I mean, to me, that took the cake when it came to permitting. I mean,
well, I appreciate that, but to be honest with you, it was a lot of fun. It gave us an opportunity to interact with the locals out there, and actually, I think that's why we have so much support from the locals, people who are actually paying attention to what we're doing and how we're trying to incorporate all of these beneficial things into the project are really supportive. They're just, and they've been great to deal with. So what, the little bit of background on this was this. So when we were going through the Billings County permitting for our conditional use permits and our zoning approvals, the concern came up from the park is that we would be able to, they would be able to see it, the facility from the park. So initially we did, we grabbed the two closest locations to the facility that are in the park, which was, I think we used the southeast corner of the park, and I believe we used the visitor center right there along I-94. So we went up to those locations. We fully surveyed this with our instruments. So we surveyed the location of our refinery compared to that site, and then we took photographs from those viewpoints, and then we overlaid our refinery on those photographs, but we also took into effect the contours of the property or the land in between the park itself and the refinery. And what we found in from both of those locations was that the refinery sits well below the horizon line. You cannot see it from those locations, which were the two closest locations. Well, then we heard that, maybe it's visible from Buck Hill. Buck Hill is actually the highest point within the Teddy Roosevelt Park. So we did the same thing, but that one we took another step because we were using for the contours of the land in between the park and the refinery, we're using USGS mapping. So USGS is United States Geological Society maps, and when we superimposed the refinery over the photographs that were taken, it was. We thought maybe you would see a few feet of it, like a very little amount. I'm giving an idea, like 20 feet. By the way, what you would potentially see is the highest point of the refinery is a 10-foot wide, 150-foot tall column. It's called a crude column. Okay. So actually, this is kind of neat. I'm glad you asked about this. So we said, okay, with the USGS data that we have, we believe you might be able to see the top 20 feet or so. But we're not positive because now we were talking about it's so far, it's 7 miles away. The amount that you can see from that distance is so little. Let's just go out there. We did the actual visual representation, but we went out there and we bought a 35-foot long kite that was 11 foot wide, highly visible, and we used surveyors on the site to pinpoint the location of that kite. We initially were looking at using things like weather balloons and things like that, but the winds are unpredictable in that area. So we went up there. Well, they're predictable, but we didn't know what we were going to have that day. So we ended up using the kite, this highly visible kite. We flew it up to 150 feet high, which is the height of the column. And we had a whole bunch of people. We invited the public and just generally, come on up to Buck Hill. We're going to have an event, and we're going to show you what you can see from the column. And if you can see it, great. And if if you can see it, you see it. And if you don't, you don't. Well, people were bringing up spotting scopes and binoculars and all kinds of things to try to enhance their vision. And really, what it boiled down to is this: we flew the kite up bigger, and it's wider than the actual column is going to be, and it's highly visible against the sky. When in reality, the column won't—it'll be earth toned, so it won't be as visible. So we fly it up there. Nobody can see it. I mean, we're messing around looking at this thing and, talking back and forth on radios with the surveyors, and yep, it's up there and everybody's good. Nobody can see this thing.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hendrington from SEH or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Now wasn't too late and I wasn't too soon. Yes, I was born on the first day of my life. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and Lieutenant Governor Brent Sandberg.
Changed at all? Is it the same when you were campaigning to where it's at today? How's your give me a state of the union of oil from your perspective now that you're governor.
Well, I'd say the only thing that's changed is I've got more respect than ever for this industry. And the reason I say that is because it's obviously energy is critically important to our state and our state's economy. But the way that this industry has responded to low prices is the way markets should work. Mm-hmm. When the prices went down, people didn't just pick up their tent and go home. I mean, they said, we've got to innovate. And so everybody starts working on every angle they can mm-hmm. to try to figure out how can we lower our break-even point? How can we get more oil from every well? How can we be more efficient with our team? How can we have every frack job produce more? I mean, and they've done it. I mean, so then now, you know, you talk to different companies off here, and everybody's talking about how much they've dropped their break-even point. It's really one of the great stories, not just in North Dakota, but in this country, mm-hmm. of how an industry has responded to adversity, and in doing so, it's, you know, great for our state, great for our nation, and I think probably great for their shareholders that they've been able to keep innovating.
I was having a conversation this morning that North Dakota is drilling 1 million barrels a day. We had a party 2 years ago when we did it, and we're still doing it. You talk about reinventing government. Should we look at reevaluating how we look at the energy industry? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely.
The old way just doesn't seem like it yeah. matches. Brent?
Right. When we just asked the other day for what is the conversion factor of what 59 rigs means today
yes.
versus what it used to mean. Okay, 1.8 times more. So 100, it's like having 106 drilling rigs, but at some point we have to go away from that, from 2013 being the measuring stick,
mm-hmm.
because what matters is producing wells.
Right.
What we found out with the duck wells, it's not about the holes drilled. It's not about the drilling rigs drilling wells. It's the duck wells were what was stopping the revenue from climbing because they were not completing. So it's not even wells drilled. It's actually wells that are producing.
It's a new age of oil.
Yes.
I mean, to me, it looks no different than corn or soybeans or anything like that. It's a commodity. It's just a matter. It's a price play now, and whether they can afford to extract that energy out of there. You mentioned the technology part of things. These smart, clever capitalists have been continuing to bring that well cost down. I mean, they're down to $7-6 million in some cases.
Yep.
Talk to me about innovation. Talk to me about the UAS industry. Talk to me about how North Dakota is going to enhance the energy technology.
What you think about the fact that now they can drill a well in 10 days versus 30 days when all this was starting versus 20 days not so long ago. I mean, that's all from these technology gains. And also the 60-stage frack versus one-stage frack. I mean, these are things that they're evolving as time goes on, bringing that price from $12 million down to $7 million per well.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. For them to be able to operate in this $42 to $46 price range and keep going, keep getting investment dollars from their investors, from the public companies that own a lot of these operators, I mean, it's amazing to think that we could be still increasing at $42 to $46, but that is from the innovation. Something I just learned after our meeting was in other countries, we're beyond on the UAS topic. Mm-hmm. They're already using UAS to reduce costs at the well pad sites in more mature fields. Just gave an example of an $800,000 savings of identifying that a pumping unit was spinning too slowly, and they went out. Sure enough, they sent an operator out to check it, and it was imminently going to break. And if it broke, that was an $800,000 problem.
So are they
this
using
is from
like,
monitoring from just a monitoring technology?
I was going to say we're into real time monitoring.
Real time monitoring,
just like they're experimenting mm-hmm. out in the cornfields in North Dakota.
Yeah, versus having pumpers, you know, the lease operators driving around trying to hit each well mm-hmm. each day. They're monitoring with UAS.
So let's transition that into higher ed, which is how North Dakota can really enhance the energy industry through technology, because yep. we're talking about robotics to the well,
yep.
but white-collar jobs being created because of this. Is that kind of what's happening here?
Right.
You know technology very well for the state. How is the university going to play into this?
Well, one thing that our higher ed system at all levels, four-year college, two-year schools, and even our high schools are under an enormous amount of pressure because the way that knowledge is transferred today is changing. Mm-hmm. It used to be that you had to go to a physical location like a university with a library where the professors were to actually, you know, gain learning. But now you can transfer knowledge anytime, any place, on any device. And so we have to really rethink differently about how we're doing that. So that means, you know, some other countries like Germany have had great success with apprenticeships, where the universities and the partners team up, and you could actually have people, you know, working on a job using the technology during the day, but also completing a degree, so that when they graduate, they're completely current. And so we have to rethink our approaches on how we think about it, because there's fewer and fewer traditional, I'm going to go to school for 4 years, graduate with a degree. We've also got nationally this huge debt. I mean, we have $1.3 trillion of student debt, and it's not clear that if the student themselves can't pay back that debt with a job they have, it's not clear that government policies that are subsidizing that education make any sense either, because if it doesn't make sense for the individual student, it doesn't make sense for us as a country to keep subsidizing college education if there's no return on it for the individual. Why would you do that? I mean, if it was a company, you'd stop investing in stuff that didn't have a return. And so we really have to think things through differently, and particularly at a time when the technology is changing so rapidly, our education system has to be more about continuous learning, not about you get a degree and then you're done the rest of your life. This is more about being able to be lifetime learners, and how can the billions of dollars we put into education in North Dakota support lifetime advancement, so that people have the skills to keep up with the industries as they're growing.
I've been hearing such an increase in the trades, and somebody said either go to 2 years or 8 years of school. That's like the new trend now. It's like either become extremely specialized or learn that trade. And what you were talking about, the decrease in the four-year school, that kind of matched up with that. Obviously, they're not going to close overnight, but there is a trend there, isn't there, where their trades are picking up and the 4 years are declining a bit.
Yeah, well, there's thousands and thousands of jobs open in cybersecurity, and some of those roles don't require a four-year college degree. But if you had a one- or two-year technical degree, you can walk out and, you know, earn $60,000, $70,000 right now. So, you know, we have to make sure that we're matching our education system with where the demand is in the country. And that means we've got to change our sort of our mindset about what a college education really means.
So let's change a mindset about quality of life, because that has to deal with jobs and location. And North Dakota has specifically decided to make a very conscious effort to try to convert some quality of life issues. Williston put in a $1.2 billion community center. Watford City, where you were the mayor of, the Rough Rider Center, as well as the new high school. I was joking that we were laughing about the kids using the porta potties the other day while you guys were building that new high school, and we were talking about how much you guys sacrificed out there for the future generations of the quality of life. Talk to me about how much you two specifically have pushed for the quality of life for jobs, because you see these jobs coming to North Dakota, and they're needed out in the oil patch. So talk to us about
What we found in Watford City was, to have this many extra jobs available, you need to have people that want to live there. And so the man camp model was feeding the job growth. But guess what? Those people in the man camp didn't want to move their families there, because they'd bring families for the weekend and say, what is there for us to do? Where do we live? What kind of you know, is there a vibrant downtown area
you gotta
that makes
drive
a community? And there just wasn't in a lot of the smaller towns in the West. We weren't really ready for 10 times more people.
Well, seriously, you had to drive 5 hours to go to a Bismarck Bobcats game.
That's right.
I mean, that was like the high, that was, otherwise, if the high school didn't have a game going on, you didn't have a lot. No, some of those towns have never had a McDonald's.
No, and we had to drive an hour from Watford just to go have a steak and a movie.
To listen to the full-length interview with North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
I'm glad I don't live too far away. With the moonlight shining on my walk home, I'm breathing in cold, they're exhaling smoke.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4000. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with John Yates Jr., president of Abo Empire, the oil and gas company.
As a operator, John Yates, how does that Trump oil make you look at the world? Look at the world of oil and gas.
In the domestic sense, I see it as an opportunity for stable oil prices over a long period of time. This actually happened in the mid-50s when Eisenhower was president. He saw the importance of having a good, healthy domestic oil and gas industry. So he, by presidential decree, had quotas put on foreign crude and stopped allowing imported crude to come into refineries in the U.S. And what that did is, all the way from the mid-50s all the way up to 1973 when the Arab oil embargo happened, it stabilized prices somewhat and allowed operators to depend somewhat on a floor price on crude oil, and so they could do adequate planning, you know, and had a stable environment to try to drill for oil and gas, and so that is what we're working toward trying to implement, is trying to have quotas on especially from oil coming from the Middle East, from the Gulf Petroleum Council or Gulf Producers Council or whatever it's called, that UAE, Abu Dhabi, Oman, and the Saudis and the Iraqis and all those people, the Iranians, are all trying to tap into our market, and they're wanting to control our market. In the old days, Yamani, who was head of Saudi Arabia Aramco, he told us as a producer group, he says, they don't need you right now. Just wait till they use up all the Middle Eastern oil. Then you guys come to the fore. Well, we don't want to wait that long. We're trying to stay in the business. We're trying to find a new reserves of oil and gas. The industry has done a wonderful job in the last 10 to 15 years in all of the states. We represent New Mexico. The state of New Mexico's production has grown phenomenally in the last 7 years. Almost 20% a year, and there's lots of opportunities out there to grow our production, and we're just waiting for someone to step up to the plate that was going to sanction our message.
All right, so back over here, one second. Another thing that Mr. Daniel Fine spoke about in his presentation, where I quick jotted down some notes, was three borders. There's three borders now, and California was included as one of those borders. So I'm going to switch it back over to Mr. Daniel Fine here with the New Mexico Center for Energy Policy. And talk to me about those three borders. What did you mean by that?
I meant that it's familiar to talk about the international borders of Canada and, of course, Mexico. No one yet has suggested building a wall on the California border. But I would suggest that if you look at California's policy, its current governor, and what happens in Sacramento, it's rejection of the United States policy under President Trump completely. And they have new innovation. By 2025, under Governor Brown, they will eliminate 12 billion barrels of oil, meaning they will impose CAFE standards, miles per gallon, if you want to drive essentially a car, non-electric, in California. They will take them off the road. This is the policy, the law coming up in California. California has the option. The federal government gave California the right to set its own standards on emissions with regard to automobiles. Three or four or five, maybe six states will follow California. This is inconsistent and a rejection of the current policy and the administration of the United States. Secondly, California has announced that it will follow the Paris Agreement. This is saying California is quasi-sovereign, almost a sovereign state, mm-hmm. to say we're going to be with Paris regardless of what happens in Washington. So more and more, California, the coast, is semi-sovereign, mm-hmm. in the sense that it is a border. And how do you contend with that? It's a problem for those on the Potomac to look west now for the first time. And then the other two borders, we know what they are. Now, whatever you think about Mexico, Mexico is a prime buyer, importer of American natural gas. They depend now on our gas. It's cheaper than importing LNG and the shipment from Asia to Mexico. They're closing their imports facilities to buy our gas.
Hmm.
So with regard to Mexico, if you see Trump moving away from the wall, you know where he's going. He's consistent in the sense of getting a better deal. And what a kind of, you know, there's no better deal when we export somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and they are importing.
Do you see the United States becoming an exporter in the next 5-10 years? either John Yates or Daniel Fine, you can take that question as you see fit.
I would just say exporter of
oil.
Oil. As you know, the history of that, in 2 years ago, some of the industry wanted to export oil.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that was the difference in the world price, Brent, and the difference for WTI in Texas. The discount of that oil, because it was a bottleneck. They were stranded. They couldn't get the new oil coming out of West Texas and New Mexico to refineries in the east.
Mm-hmm.
So because they could not transport, it was a bottleneck. In the last 3-4 years, the bottleneck closed. The price of Brent and WTR only $1.50. When all that started, it was a $20 discount per barrel. So they have, by way of allowing American producers to export oil, since late 2015, they've lowered the discount to almost $1.50. Not much in that. Secondly, what oil is going out now is, I call it a gift of OPEC. as you know, the Algiers agreement in OPEC, with Saudi Arabia leading it, was simply cut back our production. So they've cut back about 1.6 million barrels a day, and we're exporting now about a million. Until when? Until OPEC goes back to normal. And that means we will lose those export markets. So temporarily enjoy it.
So if I were these entities, like the insurance companies, the banks, and the people who would try to sell that as to retailers, to retail people on the street, I would look real seriously about the possibility of that thing blowing up in their face.
To listen to the full-length interview with John Yates Jr., president of Albo Empire, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and we're asking you to join our Facebook family. Facebook.com/thecrudelife. Facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Trent Latshaw, owner and president of Latshaw Drilling. Do we have to look at the boom-bust cycles differently?
In the time period that I've been in the industry, this is my sixth cycle. The first one was the big one back in the 80s. You know, the horizontal drilling and fracking technology that we've developed in this country, you know, we have basically doubled our oil production from about, in 08. We still were probably about 5 million barrels a day. And then at the end of 2014, the peak of this last cycle, we were up to, 9.5 million barrels a day. And during the downturn, these last couple of years, I think we dropped probably 800,000 to 1 million barrels a day. But we almost regained all that back just here in the last year, I would say, or less, since oil prices picked back up and we more than doubled the rig count. We bottomed out last May or June at about 404 rigs, which is an all-time record low. Beat the previous record set in 99 of 488 rigs, and we are now up to close to 1,000 rigs, I think. So we pretty much recouped the lost production we've seen the last couple of years.
Now, I've interviewed Harold Hamm, for example, of Continental Resources, and John Gibson when he was CEO of One Oak, and James Volker of Whiting Petroleum, and they mentioned the word paradigm shift of their business model, essentially. Did you have to change any part of your business to accommodate the modern technology?
Well, yeah, to a large extent. Well, I shouldn't say large extent. To an extent it did, and it was more that we had to add some different equipment to our rigs. And then after that, all of a sudden now they started to multiple wells per pad, so we had to modify our rigs for walking or skidding systems so we could move the rig on location easily to drill multiple wells per pad. And the latest thing now is mud pumps that will handle 7,500 PSI working pressure versus the normal 5,000 pounds that we've had for the last 40 years. And that is because they are doing longer and longer laterals. You start getting out to 6,000 or 7,000 feet or more in lateral lengths, and you need the higher pressure mud pumps in order to drill efficiently out there. So, yeah, those three things, top drives, walking systems, and higher pressure pumps are things we've had to do and modify in our rigs to keep up with the changing technology.
By the way, just sidebar real quick, people's reactions when they see those walking rigs, I mean, it's kind of fun to see their jaw drop, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, the mast and sub, when it's full of pipe, I mean, you're talking easily a million, maybe a million and a half pounds of weight there, and to be able to walk that thing, 10 or 20 feet in a short period of time is pretty interesting. I talked to one of my competitors the other day, and they said they actually walked a rig 2 miles up in North Dakota last winter because they couldn't get trucks, and the terrain apparently was fairly flat, and it was frozen, and they just got a bulldozer out there and cleared a path and walked that sucker 2 miles.
You just mentioned three examples of technology adapting. Is there anything that you without getting into your finances or sharing secrets, any examples that you have that your company has done in the last several years to do the right sizing, the streamlining, or becoming more efficient?
Well, unfortunately, when you talk about right sizing, you're usually talking about, cutting back on people and doing more with less people, more productivity. Unfortunately, a drilling rig is, for the last 50 years or more, it requires a set number of men to operate it, and that's typically a 5-man crew. And, a lot of people talk about the automation on rigs and things like this to decrease manpower. It just really hasn't happened. It still takes a 5-man crew. And to be honest, I was telling an operator this the other day, and it's actually in some cases gone the other way because we are drilling so fast now. Compared to previous years, there's not enough time for the men to do some of the maintenance on the rig and other things that historically we've had time to do as we were drilling. And so in some cases, we actually now carry a 6-man on the crew just in order to be able to keep up with everything because things are going so fast. So from our perspective, there hasn't been an improvement in productivity on the surface. Yes, there's been some great increases in productivity and efficiencies downhole, from the operator's perspective. So he can drill a well in half the time it used to, but on the surface, when you come to dealing with the drilling rig and whatnot, there just haven't been any real
cost savings or right-sizing or efficiencies gained there, really.
And that was Trent Latshaw with Latshaw Drilling. To listen to the full-length interview or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that, girl. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that, girl. We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. Oh, yeah.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946, or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.